One of the crossbeams gone out of skew on channel.
I don't understand what you're saying.
One of the crossbeams has gone out of skew on the treadle.
What on earth does that mean?
I don't know. Mr. Wentworth just told me to come in here and say that there was trouble at the mill, that's all. I didn't expect a kind of Spanish Inquisition.
Nobody expects the Spanish Inquisition. Our chief weapon is surprise. Surprise and fear. Fear and surprise are two weapons. Our fear and surprise and ruthless efficiency are three weapons. Our fear and surprise and ruthless efficiency and an almost fanatical devotion to the Pope. Cardinal, read the charges.
You are hereby charged that you did, and I rest my case.
Infants on Thrones.
This is Infants on Thrones.
Minisode.
It's all over now, I'm not gonna beg to differ.
Dear President Simmons, hi, this is Glenn Ostlund. I'm a member of Record in your stake, but I think you know that already. I recently heard from a good friend of mine that you have a few questions about me. Now, apparently you called he and his wife in last Friday night to ask him a few questions about me? That's kind of weird, right? You could have just asked me directly, but okay, cat's out of the bag. What do you want to know? I guess there's two main things that you ask them. One, if I'm associated with the group One Foot In, and two, what is my testimony of the church? So let's start with the first one. I've got to tell you, I've never heard of One Foot In. I have no idea what it is. When I was 17 years old, I formed a small group at Arizona Boys State called EGAT OBOS. That's sabotage spelled backwards. And we coordinated water balloon assassination attempts on the more obnoxious, politically ambitious Boy Staters. No, they weren't real assassinations. We had to get them at least 50% wet, and then they were considered dead. It was something that they voted into the Constitution every year at Boy State, for fun. So if there was a county coroner present and they verified that the person was at least 50% wet, then they were considered dead and they had to withdraw from any elections that they were running for. Yeah, it was sort of Gadiant and Robbers-ish of me. You know, and it's at least something akin to the appearance of evil. But that was only for 1 week, back in the late 80s, and I've taken the sacrament hundreds of times since then, and I've never repeated it, so I'm pretty sure that that little indiscretion was forgiven years ago. But the group One Foot In, I don't know. Maybe my friend misunderstood what you were asking. Maybe there is some underground group called One Foot In. If there is, I'd really love to know. But it may just be some generational Mormon jargon like Jack Mormon that, you know, us younger generation whippersnappers just don't get anymore. Maybe it used to mean something like a sheep in wolf's clothing. I don't know, somebody with one foot in the church, one foot in the world, or something like that. But I really haven't set either foot inside of a Mormon church for a good 3 years now. Not on any regular basis, at least. So I'm probably more like a zero-foot inner, or maybe a two-foot outer, or a whole-body happier, depending on how you want to look at it. And that should lead right to your second question. What is my testimony of the church? Well, I believe that the church is a church. In some ways, it's unique to other churches, but mainly it's just a church. A self-important, ethnocentric church, a reaching its influence as far into the lives of its members as it possibly can church, a church that teaches that they and only they have the fullness of the gospel, that they and only they have the right and authority to speak for God on this earth, that they and only they can activate the otherwise dormant atonement of Christ through the ordinance of baptism, that they're essentially the gatekeepers of heaven, and anyone who wants to enter must receive a Mormon baptism from the hands of a Mormon man, whether in this life or posthumously by proxy later on. And frankly, I find those beliefs arrogant and repugnant, and I'm ashamed that I ever supported them. And honestly, President, this is only scratching the surface of my feelings about the church. I could talk about my issues with the church for hours and hours. And in fact, I have. I've been podcasting now, my feelings about the church, for about 4.5 years. I started early 2010 on a podcast called Mormon Expression. And now for the past 2 years, I've been doing a podcast with some friends of mine that we call Infants on Thrones. That's a name that we took from Joseph Smith's King Follett discourse. Do you remember that one? It's the one where he talks about how important it is to know the true nature of God. And it's one of the main sources where we get that doctrine, as man is, God once was, and as God is, man may become. Now, he also said that little babies who die don't grow, but remain in their state as a child forever. So mothers who've just lost your children, don't worry, you'll hold them again. Here, let me read you a quote. This is from the BYU Studies article on King Follett. This is what Joseph said. As the child dies, so will it rise from the dead and be living in the burning of God and possessing all the intelligence of a God. It will never grow. It will be the child in its precise form as it was before it died out of your arms. Talking to the mothers. Children dwell and exercise power, throne upon throne, dominion upon dominion, in the same form just as you laid them down. Eternity is full of thrones, upon which dwell thousands of children, reigning on thrones of glory, with not one cubit added to their stature. That's kind of silly, right? That's probably why this part was left out of the 1971 Ensign article that you can find today on LDS.org, but they kind of pick and choose the parts of church history that they put on display, you know? I can give you a little bit more insight into my testimony. I remember preparing for a Sunday school lesson several years ago. I was teaching gospel doctrine, and the lesson was on the degrees of glory, and I had this really weird experience. See, I'd been learning about etymology in school. You know, etymology is the history behind the meaning of words, how they came to be and all that. And I wanted to do this etymology exercise on celestial, terrestrial, and telestial. Celestial, well, that one was pretty easy. It just means sky. And I sort of laughed when I realized this in my mid-30s because my elementary school where I went to as a kid was Kyrene del Cielo. And I knew that that meant Kyrene of the sky, cielo, celestial. It's really the same root word. So sky or the heavens, you know, it isn't exactly sun like I was expecting it to be, but heavens, that's close enough. Okay, I got it. So then I looked up terrestrial, hoping to find something about the moon in there, but no, it came from the root word terra, which, hang on, I knew that one too. Terra means earth, like terra firma. Okay, heaven and earth aren't the sun and the moon. It's a little weird, but all right, what about telestial? Because I had heard from people on my mission that it means like tela, like the scars or telos or something like that from the stars. So I looked that up, but guess what? Telestial doesn't exist anywhere. Telestial isn't a word. I couldn't find it anywhere outside of Mormon sources. So I decided to go directly to the source, or at least as close to the source as I could find. And I turned to 1 Corinthians 15, where, as missionaries, we would use that scripture to validate Joseph Smith's teaching about the 3 degrees of glory. Because, see, Paul taught it too. This is just a restoration of that truth. But that's what I'd always been told, at least. And that's why I went looking for telestial in Corinthians. But guess what? It's not there either. Why? I didn't understand. This wasn't making any sense to me. So as I was preparing for this gospel doctrine lesson, and keep in mind, I'm looking just at the scriptures, not at anything else. I'm reading through 1 Corinthians 15, and I realize that Paul's setting up all of these dualities. Paul's responding to a people who doubt the resurrection. So he basically creates 2 groups of things to compare against each other. There's a group of mortal, corruptible things, which he calls terrestrial, because they're things of the earth, and terrestrial means earth. And then the ones that he compares them against, the second group, these are all immortal, incorruptible things, and he calls them celestial, because those are the things of heaven, and celestial means sky or heaven. So you've got the corruptible things of the earth, the incorruptible things of heaven. And this is where he puts Adam, having brought death into the world. That's group A. And then Jesus bringing eternal life to the world. That's group B. And he keeps going through this, A and B and A and B. And then just like there's different types of flesh in the earth, you know, like there's the flesh of men, beast, fish, and birds. And those are all column A things, corruptible, mortal things. There are also different types of brightness or glory in the heavens. You know, like the sun and the moon and the stars. And those are all group B. Those are all celestial. But hang on, because I was always taught that the sun is celestial and that the moon is terrestrial and that the stars are telestial, but Paul actually said that those are all celestial because he's not talking about degrees of glory in the afterlife. And the word telestial, it isn't even a real word. I couldn't find it in Paul. I couldn't find a source for it anywhere. Where did it come from? So I was left with this problem, President, and no one to help me. How do we explain where the word telestial came from? And how does this inspired translation from Joseph Smith add anything to the very clear dualist corruption versus incorruption structure that Paul had established? How is this helpful? So at this point, I wondered for the first time ever, could Joseph Smith have misread the Bible? Could he have maybe been not quite as smart as we all thought? Could I, with my bachelor's degree in English and advanced degrees from Indiana University, be smarter or at least a little better at reading comprehension than the prophet Joseph Smith? Oh, what's going on here? So, really, honestly, President, this concerned me so much. And I went to my bishop to talk to him about it. He had nothing. My home teachers, nothing. My dad, nothing. The elders' quorum, nothing. Not only did no one have an answer for any of this, but most of them couldn't even see what I was saying because sun, moon, stars were just celestial, terrestrial, telestial in all their heads, and they couldn't see anything else. So anyway, that's a little bit of a tangent. That's what I do. So my testimony, President, well, I've dedicated my entire life to study Mormonism. I really have. I've taken it very seriously, and I still do. And I respect it for what it is. And I respect that it's a vitally important thing for people who believe it. And I'm not trying to take that away from anyone. I'm just not one of those people. I don't believe that it's true. I only believe that it's fascinating. And I plan to keep studying about it, and to keep talking about it, and to keep making these podcasts because they're fun and they're fascinating. And there's so much Mormon-influenced stuff inside of me that I just want to understand better. And this is how I approach that understanding. So if there's some kind of counsel that you need to call or some kind of discipline that you feel like you need to hand out, just contact me. Just do it directly. Leave my friends out of it because you're only causing stress on them that they really don't need. Besides, it's kind of childish, don't you think? So let me know if you want to talk and if you have any plans on moving forward, because I always love getting ideas for future content on future episodes, and I still have a lot more to say. So thanks, President. Anyone for the closing prayer? I know your tricks too well.
Now please. This is Hillary.
Matthew. Ryan.
Carol.
Keith.
Ashley. And I like to play bingo online while listening to Infants on Thrones.
You can comment on this episode on the website, infantsonthrones.com.
And if you really like what you hear, give the quorum a 5-star rating and write a short review on iTunes.
I did. Anyone for the closing prayer? So go and fake one more mistake and choose to.
Oh, it's all